From KBIA News in Columbia, this is Intersection, Conversations in Our Community. I'm Sarah Shariari. On April 4th, Colombians in the 1st and 5th wards will vote to select their city council representatives. This week on Intersection, we talk with 1st Ward City Council candidates Clyde Ruffin, Pat Kelly, and Andrew Hutchinson. But first, we wanted to learn what questions people who live in the city's 1st Ward, which encompasses downtown, much of the MU campus, and West Central Columbia north of Broadway, have for their potential council members. Producers Claire Banderas, Trevor Hook, and Meg Vatterott bring us these voices from Columbia's 1st Ward.
My name is Mike, and the last name is Dennehy, and I'm just curious about what the plans are for the development of downtown and kind of just see, you know, what's the future for the high-rises and the local downtown businesses.
My name is Maureen Dickman. I think that the issue of community policing and just equity in general, it's not fair in Columbia. If you're African-American, you just have too many obstacles. So I really think we start, you know, I think policing is one thing, but I mean, you look at unemployment, everything. Well, it's all connected though, don't you see? I mean, you get a ticket and then all of a sudden you're out on the street and then, you know, it's just, so yeah. It really takes a systemic approach. It's a systemic problem.
Kevin Kaysen and my daughter Serenity. The policing between the CPD and the community could be a lot better, and I'm thinking the incident this past weekend at the Eagle Stop was like above and beyond. And I mean, I understand they have a job to do, but it's a lot of times it's the way you do it. And you know, to the public, when you see the police treating the people like that, even if the people are in the wrong, it's a way to go about stuff.
This is Intersection on KBIA, and those were voices from Columbia's 1st Ward. Residents of the 5th and 1st Wards will select their city council representatives on April 4th in the general municipal election. Intersection sat down with 1st Ward candidates Clyde Ruffin, Pat Kelly, and Andrew Hutchinson to learn why they're running for office and what their plans would be as part of Columbia's city council. Here's that conversation. So I just wanted to go around and ask each of our 1st Ward candidates for city council here a little bit about your connection with Columbia. Andrew, do you want to tell us about your connection with the city?
Sure. So my name is Andrew Hutchinson, and I'm running for the 1st Ward seat of city council. My connection to the city is that I grew up in Columbia. I'm a lifelong resident. I've spent my time here. We'll be graduating from the University of Missouri Columbia in May. But during this time, I have organized an arts collective for about 2.5 years now that has held fundraisers for grassroots community events and organizations like the Columbia Housing Authority's Moving Ahead program. But we also have held fundraisers for national movements like the Dakota Access Pipeline.
And did you grow up in the 1st Ward?
I did not. I actually grew up on Southside, but I've lived in the 1st Ward as I've been a student here. And I've always worked in the 1st Ward, whether that be far on West Broadway or downtown.
Wonderful. Thank you. Clyde, could you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your connection to the city and the 1st Ward?
Well, I moved to Columbia in 1982 when I joined the faculty at the University of Missouri. I served in that capacity for more than 33 years as the chair of the Department of Theater and also a professor. I was also the founding director of the World Theater Workshop here on campus. For the past 13 years, I've been served as the pastor at Second Baptist Church, which is located on the corner of 4th and Broadway, which is in the heart of the 1st Ward. I've raised my children here, and now my grandchildren are here. I also, in the past few years, since I've been on the city council, I was elected in 2015 when the previous council person resigned. And so I've been in this position for almost 2 years rather than a regular 3-year term. But during the past 2 years, I've served as a co-chair of the capital campaign for the Boys and Girls Club. We're very happy that we've raised $2.5 million to complete the expansion of the Boys and Girls Club. I'm on the board of directors of United Way. Also serve on the board of directors of Grade A+, an after-school tutoring program that focuses on math and science, and many other community engagements. I'm the city council representative to Ready as well, and I've traveled extensively with the Chamber of Commerce, and so I'm here.
Wonderful. Thank you. And Pat, could you tell us about your experience with the First Ward in Columbia?
I moved to Columbia into the First Ward in 1988, and when I bought my house a few years later, the same house I was living in, we started organizing the Ridgeway Neighborhood Association, and that has led to a lot of other activities in the First Ward. A Central Columbia Get Out the Vote Committee is on the Community Land Trust Steering Committee, the First Ward representative for the Community Development Commission. I helped with other people in First Ward Neighborhood Associations organize a free New Year's Day festival for the city. Every day I walk through the First Ward because I work in the First Ward. I live in the First Ward. I've been here for 25 years, been involved in working with people and community outreach activities. And I feel like a really great connection with my neighborhood and with the area. And I'm running because I really think that we need to preserve our Central Columbia city. So I think it's a great place for to preserve affordable housing and historic preservation.
Thank you. And Andrew, if you could identify the top two issues that you think are addressing the First Ward, could you identify those and tell us a little bit about how you would address them if you were elected to city council?
I think the top two issues would be the lack of responsible development and also issues of community policing. And by responsible development, I would term infrastructure and affordable housing relating to that. I think a lot of times the city spends money on projects that or funds are spent in order to entice businesses rather than build the businesses and communities that we have here. Instead of spending money on social equity programs, we're losing money when we're selling land. For instance, with the Aurora Organic Dairy deal where we lost $1 million in selling the land to that business/investor, or when it comes down to the Henderson Sewer Branch Extension where we're possibly going to spend close to $4 million on outside business interests rather than repairing the infrastructure here in the First Ward. And to touch on policing briefly, issues of funding have been brought up in terms of policing, and I think that for the First Ward specifically, since that's where the strategic neighborhoods lie, that's where the poorer communities lie, and the communities that are, in my opinion, over-policed, I think community policing occupies a very special interest for the First Ward representative, and it's something that we should speak up on and something that we should hold the Columbia Police Department accountable for changing their police culture and doing fixes to the culture that are not just surface level.
Wonderful. Thank you. And Clyde, what about you? What do you think the top two priorities are would be for you if you were reelected as councilperson? Pat's pushing the microphone over to you.
When I joined the city council, I was very pleased to see that the city had published a strategic plan that focuses on the issues of social equity. The city was courageous enough to acknowledge that in spite of the reputation that the city of Columbia has for being a wonderful place with low unemployment and wonderful schools, wonderful parks and trails, beautiful neighborhoods, that in fact there's great disparity in our community that cuts across economic as well as racial lines. What I found is that the First Ward encompasses all of those things. It encompasses the best of the things that we love about Columbia resonate right out of the center of the First Ward, our educational system, you know, wonderful opportunities for employment. But it also represents many of the challenges. We'll always hear about the infrastructure issues in the First Ward and how those infrastructure issues are impacted by development, because the infrastructure in the First Ward is the oldest in the city, because this is the oldest area of the city. It is an ongoing problem. And the city has to be challenged to be proactive rather than always reactive. We also recognize that the issue of poverty is one that we can actually address head on as a city council by working to ensure that we are growing businesses, that we are growing employment opportunities, that we are bringing in businesses that will pay sufficient wages so that we can address the housing issues from that perspective as well. If people make more money, they'll be able to afford a better place to live. If people make more money, we'll get more of our children off of free and reduced lunch. If people make more money, we'll have fewer of our children who will be homeless. And so many of our issues can be addressed by increasing employment opportunities for better paying jobs. And we know that there's a strong connection between education and employment. So anything that we can do to provide sufficient opportunities for training or job preparation, anything that we could do to support the Board of Education to raise the graduation rates, particularly for African Americans, will certainly address that disparity in our community. And those are things that we can actually support at the level of city government.
Thank you. And Pat, what would you identify as the top two issues facing the First Ward?
I would say that one of the very most important is affordable housing. This is in all reaches of affordable housing, whether people are buying a home or looking for a room to rent. It's very sad that there are abandoned houses in my neighborhood, and there are also homeless people sleeping on porches mm-hmm. or across the street in the park. And somehow we have to deal with that disconnect. Instead of building luxury apartments, we need to focus on someplace where somebody could get a room of their own and focus on the kind of a housing-first model to end homelessness. Another issue is for people buying houses. New construction, many people cannot afford that. And there are some great ideas that are and some beginnings of a community land trust, which I think is really helpful. But another thing is that we have some affordable houses that we're losing every year in our neighborhood because they're falling down and they're abandoned and neglected. And another part of the affordable housing piece is public safety. I feel like where I live is safe and it's a good community and it's friendly, but a lot of people don't. I work at the university where many staff are commuting every day to Boonville and Ashland, and I think if there's a way to bring more people, if more people felt safe living in neighborhoods they could afford, we would be able to restore some of that housing. So part of that is to have community policing and community policing that is truly an outreach to the community, not something where you just have a couple officers who are going to neighborhood events, but you have community policing throughout the city so that there's more trust on both sides, so the police and the citizens. And I believe that would go a long ways towards preserving our affordable neighborhoods and housing.
This is Intersection on KBIA. And this week, we're talking with Clyde Ruffin, Pat Kelly, and Andrew Hutchinson, the three candidates who want to represent Columbia's first ward on city council. In the case of Clyde Ruffin, he's already represented the first ward for a few years. The First Ward covers downtown, much of the MU campus, and West Central Columbia, north of Broadway.
I mean, I'm hearing from all of you, I think, about affordable housing, about community policing, infrastructure, and equity. And the First Ward really is such a fascinating place because you have the university and the students and luxury student housing going up. You also have the city's largest portion of the African American population. You have some of the lowest income neighborhoods in the city. So it's extraordinarily diverse in so many ways. Is there special knowledge that the First Ward council person needs to have, or special experiences that the First Ward council person needs to have to serve all of these different communities and different interests?
I'm not sure if it's necessarily experience, but if there is an experience that someone needs to have, it needs to be uniting disparate groups and organizing. I think one of the most important things about the First Ward is that it is the area with the lowest voter turnout. And as we've talked about, it is an area that has severe issues in regards to social equity. And I think to put this, to color it with an example, for instance, with the power line issue. With the power line issue, we saw that Southside residents were able to mobilize allies, and they were able to hire advocates, and they were able to actually hire students to get signatures on a petition to attempt to recall their council person based on when they wanted to reject option A, which city engineers told us in a candidate orientation that option A was the best fit for the city in terms of strengthening the grid, building a power station in the south, substation in the south, et cetera, et cetera. So for First Ward, it means, your experience needs to be organizing. It needs to be uniting different groups and constantly listening. The First Ward representative should not so much be honing their skills, but more putting their ear as close as they possibly can to the ground, meeting with neighborhood associations regularly, meeting with groups regularly, and possibly, if they have the time, even walking doors and explaining policies, or holding town halls and explaining policies to residents when they can, for the simple fact that most people in the first and most people in the city in general can't make it to council meetings. So increasing transparency and increasing the outreach of the city should be the First Ward councilperson's first priority, because if voter turnout is any sign, the First Ward's residents are the least engaged as a whole. Not to say that there are not neighborhood associations that do incredible work and do incredible advocacy, especially in regards to neighborhood protections in the recently passed Uniform Development Code.
Thank you. Clyde, what about you? What do you think the First Ward councilperson needs to do to really represent all these dramatically different interests that are going on in the First Ward?
You did a pretty good job of addressing the challenges and the diversity that exists within the First Ward, but it's even more complicated than that. In fact, the other members of the City Council all acknowledge that the First Ward is, in fact, the most complex and most difficult to represent, because it also includes public housing, mm-hmm. which has become very diverse because of our immigrant populations that are settling here in Columbia. It also includes all of the historic churches that exist downtown as well. And you did not mention the fact that the downtown area, the business loop,
yes,
and the Columbia Mall and all of those business interests, in fact, the Chamber of Commerce and all of that is all in the First Ward.
Gosh, I didn't realize the First Ward stretched to the mall.
Yep.
Yes, it does.
It's all right.
Yeah, it goes beyond the mall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's where I live. And so it is complex in that regard. Because I believe that the person that is chosen to represent the First Ward must be comfortable in all of those communities. It doesn't mean that you have to be an expert, but you have to have a certain ease so that you'll be able to be received and also be able to listen and learn and adapt what you learn. What I found is that by being able to move in all of these areas during the time that I've served on the First Ward, that it has enabled me to bridge those diverse communities. Not all of them. I'm still in the process of learning how to do that, but there have been some very important collaborations that have happened as a result by being able to meet with the president of shelter insurance and to talk about the needs of a tutoring program or talk about the needs of the Almeda Creighton Foundation and to find ways of bridging those two worlds, being able to sit down with the Poor People's Breakfast and also being able to travel with the Chamber of Commerce. It's important because the First Ward representative cannot just represent one entity. You have to be able to connect all of them in communities for a better Columbia. And so that's what I'm endeavoring to do.
Thank you. And Pat?
I think one of the most important things is to have a lived experience of being part of the First Ward and being actually in the center of the First Ward. Last night, I was walking home from City Council, and we were walking through the public housing, and I thought, wow, it's so quiet, and it's a nice evening. Nobody's outside. And then I noticed that the buzzing of the streetlights was so loud, and I thought, well, no wonder nobody wants to go outside because there's this loud buzzing. And that's an experience you wouldn't have unless you were actually there. These are experiences like walking down Providence on a really hot afternoon and realizing that there are no trees mm-hmm. on this street that a lot of people walk on, or that you can't get by when there's snowplows have you know, piled everything up, you know, outside of the parking lots. And these are all lived experiences, which I feel like I have from being in the First Ward and from talking to people. A number of years ago, we did a survey in our neighborhood, and we asked people what they liked and what they didn't like about the neighborhood. And we thought, okay, crime, you know, would be top of the list. The top of the list was trash. And so we organized a neighborhood trash pickups. And we, for a year, we met every Sunday with people and picked up trash. And it was fun because people would come out and join us. And we haven't solved this permanently, but it was interesting to me that you think that you know what it is that people want, and it's not until you're really out there working with people and talking to them. And so I think City Council is kind of a rarefied experience, but because you're working with people in the city and there are developers there, and oftentimes there are not the people who live in the ward who are underrepresented, who are there. But I think having lots of experience just talking to people, working with neighborhood associations, working on the outreach with the boards and commissions is really helpful to give you a different experience in a different sense.
Thank you. This is Intersection on KBIA. And this week we're talking with Clyde Ruffin, Pat Kelly, and Andrew Hutchinson, the three candidates who want to represent Columbia's first ward on City Council. One of the issues that particularly affects the first ward, especially I would say sort of the north central part of the first ward, which is where I live, is homelessness, because a lot of the services that are available to people who are dealing with homelessness are focused in that area. And a lot of those services are provided by the faith community or not-for-profits. There's not really a tremendous presence of the city addressing that issue in any sort of cohesive way in that area. Is that something that you would look at as a member of City Council, or do you have any thoughts about what the level of the city's involvement should be, Andrew?
Yeah, this is something I actually had a conversation with a friend of mine the other day. During the winter, we were seeing all the ads. They were looking for volunteers for Room at the Inn, which I think is an incredible thing. But whether it's Room at the Inn or Food Not Bombs that's organized by a fellow named Robert out of Cafe Berlin, I've found that most of the food insecurity and most of the homeless outreach programs, like you mentioned, are run by faith groups or by, you know, small individual grassroots. And I don't think the city should get in the business of, for instance, owning a homeless shelter or trying to operate their own homeless outreach program. But in my opinion, this goes back to the concept of responsible development, in the sense that instead of spending money on outside businesses or trying to or losing money in negotiations, we should be watching every dollar that we have and ensuring that the money that we do have gets more allocated into more social equity programs, whether that would be more funding towards, we already do some grants, I believe, with JobPoint, and whether we would do more funding towards actual work skill education programs or after school programs to combat poverty, or actually parceling out grants to Room at the Inn. I think the city needs to prioritize more funding towards social equity programs, because in my opinion, the best investment that you can make is investment in your community. And I would like to see more city dollars go into trying to improve the lives of our least fortunate residents.
Thank you, Andrew. And Clyde, what about you? Where do you stand on what the city's role should be in addressing homelessness?
Well, I can assure you that the City Council is fully aware of the pervasiveness of this issue. Each year, the City Council allocates a certain amount of money in support of the Room at the Inn program. The city gave $500,000 to Patriots Place to help the development of the the apartments for homeless veterans.
Yes.
So they did support that. I'm also a member of a group that is the acronym is CATCH, the Columbia Alliance to Combat Homelessness. That group is partnering with the city. The city originally agreed to donate a parcel of land on 8th Street for the construction of a comprehensive homeless shelter. the people in the neighborhood educated us that that was not a good location for them because of the residents and because of the issues that they have with the individuals who frequent the Turning Point. And once we found that out, we decided to abandon that particular partnership. But we're still in collaboration with the city. The city allocated a certain amount of funding to help us develop the architectural plans originally, but all of those plans are now on hold until we find a better location. But we are working on how to address that issue. We've taken some trips to other cities to see what kinds of programs they have, to see what we can create here. It will not be a city-run, operated program, but the city is committed to supporting these groups that are seeking to address these issues.
What about you, Pat? What do you think the city's role should be in addressing homelessness?
There are probably as many reasons that people are homeless as there are people who are homeless. Mm-hmm. And also, this doesn't extend just to people who, you know, don't have a place to sleep tonight, but people who are barely hanging on to the house that they have. I think that there are a lot of opportunities that we miss as far as programs, you know, for like effective reentry programs, treatment programs, code enforcement, just to preserve housing that we have so there's more housing stock available. One of the things I was reading about and which I had known about from when I was growing up in Lincoln, Nebraska, is I had friends who stayed at rooms like over a drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
And you shared a kitchen, but, you know, they were clean. It was, you paid something like at the time $80 a month. And we as far as I know, we do not have places like this in Columbia where, you know, it's a huge hurdle to get into an apartment. It's, you know, we had to pay the first month's rent and the last month's rent, and the rent's pretty expensive anyway. And so if we have, I could see some incentives to have something that just as we have not, as we have helped pay the infrastructure for some of the luxury apartments, that we couldn't do that for something that is not so luxury, that would give people an opportunity to get off the streets. Because it's not that people necessarily have no money. They might make $800 a month, but so which means that 30% of their rent might be $250. And another problem is that we have not built any new public housing since the 60s or something. So it's something that is so far-reaching that I think that one of the first things is we had an affordable housing summit, and some good things have – or a homeless summit, and some things have come out of that with focusing on the Homeless First program. But I think this could also be a community process to determine, okay, how can we get more affordable housing, and what is our policy going to be?
Thank you for listening to Intersection. And of course, thank you to our guests, Clyde Ruffin, Pat Kelly, and Andrew Hutchinson. Clyde, Pat, and Andrew are the three candidates for Columbia's First Ward City Council seat. You can also find us on Facebook to stay up to date with our show. Our producers are Claire Banderas, Trevor Hook, and Meg Vatterott. Our music is Montana Skies. I'm Sarah Shariari for Intersection here on KBIA 91.3 FM.